Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. So, as always, I am going to start with my motivational quote, and it's by Carl Sandburg, and he says, "It's not that some people have willpower and some don't. It's that some people are ready to change and others are not." All right, so how many of you have tried to find a way to stop the hands of time? You know, actually find the fountain of youth? I know I have. Well, everywhere we turn, it seems looking young and fit. It's just the message everywhere in our media, society, everything we look at and we want to look younger and better to live our full life. Well, today you are in store for a wonderful treat. My guest is Linda Shealy, and we're going to discuss the three most important things for living a long and healthy life. Now, talk about a Renaissance woman at age 76, and I think I got that right, after owning 77, after owning three businesses, Linda reinvented herself and became certified in four types of yoga, including cancer yoga, as well as becoming a Reiki master. Her dance card is really full with about 16 classes of yoga every week. And Linda is also a professional speaker on health, wellness, age, and aging in reverse. So we have the expert with us to help us find that fountain of youth. So please help me welcome back for the second time my wonderful friend, Linda Shealy. So Linda, thank you again for being on and coming back and just sharing all of this wonderful information.
You are so welcome, and it was a joy last time. I had such a good time on
your
show.
Yes, we did. We covered, and for anybody that's listening, definitely go back and listen to the show with Linda. We covered a lot of stuff in that as well. We're going to shift gears a little bit. You have a new ebook out, right?
Yes,
called
I do.
The Five Tibetans, and we're going to give that link to everybody later, so no worries. Yes. We love giving things away on the show. But this is a yoga practice that you've been doing every morning for the last 1.5 years. Can you share with us a little bit about the Tibetan rituals and then how it actually has helped you? Because you have a great personal story with that.
Right. Actually, I learned about this 1.5 years ago. One of the yoga teachers in my studio that I was teaching at the time had a workshop, and I thought, well, this is interesting. I think I'll go, you know, take this. And I was blown away by what this meant, where it comes from. It's about 2,500 years old, and really very few yoga people have heard about it. Right? But it's actually, as the folklore goes, or maybe the truth goes, it is supposed to aid you in reverse. So then it was really important to me because, of course, that's what I do, right? Anyway, I started learning this. Now, it is not easy, okay? It takes time. It's pretty strenuous, but anybody can do it. Listen, I learned at 76. Anybody can learn this, right? And I'm in good shape, but people that aren't, you just have to be patient. Because in this ebook that I'm going to link you to, it gives you all the instructions right from the first one. So what this is it's called five rites, right? Which means there are five exercises. The first one, you twirl around. Everyone has done 21 times. You twirl around 21 times. Now, the first time I tried that, I got dizzy after 3.
I can only imagine.
3. And so I had to stop. And then what you do if you get dizzy is, first of all, you better stop or you're going to fall down, is just twirl once in the opposite direction and it straightens you right out. But you take your time doing this. It took me almost 3 months to do 21. Wow. You add one or two more every week, but you do it every day. The key is to do this every single day. Now, the great part about that is it takes only 8 minutes. So I get up in the morning, I jump in the shower, loosen my body with the hot heat, and I lay down on my yoga mat, and in 8 minutes, I am set. It increases your energy, your flexibility, your strength. It actually changed my body. Now, I'm small. I've always been small. My waist got a lot thin. You know, I'm stronger. My core got stronger. This is 8 minutes a day, Connie. It's an amazing, amazing exercise. So the first one I explained. Second one, well, you know what, I'm going to let them look at the ebook. As they go along, they can look and see what each one is. And there are modifications. If you can't do it right away, look at the modification. There's ways to build yourself up to each exercise. But once you get it, I know people that have been doing it for 8 years, 9 years, every single day. I went to New York last year. I may have mentioned that when we spoke last on this media conference. And I'm in a hotel room that's like the size of a box. But, you know, you lay right down in front of the bed and you can do it in 8 minutes.
That's amazing.
I know. You can do it anywhere. It's a fabulous exercise.
Now, let me ask you a question. So a year and a half ago, you started doing the five Tibetan rites. Okay. Prior to that, you were still certified in all the different types of yoga. You were teaching the yoga. So you were already strong and in shape. This Tibetan exercise was the only additional thing you added to what you had already been doing. And it, those that 8 minutes, that was all you added. And you got stronger and your core and your waist and everything.
Everything.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It transformed my body. But the thing of it is you gain... your breath. You know, I'm a freak about breathing,
right,
and how you breathe, and all of this incorporates the breath. The things that I learned through this exercise is, you know, and I'm always trying to teach health and wellness and checking things out. What I learned was when you do that deep yoga breathing, right, you breathe in that oxygen. Oxygen actually helps you, your metabolism. I didn't realize that. So you can kickstart your metabolism by deep breathing. That's it. You don't have to go out and run a mile to get that metabolism up. You know, our metabolism drops in half when we age 40, but it doesn't have to. As long as you're active and you keep moving. But that deep breathing was one of the things that I learned about. You know, I think that's fascinating.
And it's such a simple concept, and yet we make it, I think people, human, we make it more complicated than it needs to be. So what are some of the huge benefits that people, and again, I like how you said, you know, you started with three turns and it took you, you know, months to get up to the 21, which is awesome. You do it, be kind to yourself. Do it at your own pace is what I heard, right, in what you're saying. What benefits can people experience once they, let's say they're a week in doing this, even if they're not doing the full amount?
Exactly.
What can they experience? What do you think they can experience? What did you see?
Now, first of all, you can do this whenever you want, but they say you should do it in the morning when you get up, because this is when you're best of gaining energy in your body. Morning exercise is the best you can do. So if you do this first thing in the morning, first of all, this creates so much energy in your body, which is one of the reasons they say don't do it at night, because you might not sleep well.
Right, that's right.
So when you stop in the morning, first of all, when you do it, it's a good ritual, because you do it, you do it. First time, first 3 months, I looked at that mat on the floor and I didn't want to do it. I just kept saying, well, okay. So once you start doing it, you gain so much energy. You sleep better, your mind is clearer, you focus better. And this is just in the beginning. You're going to feel that burst of energy. People, you know, I've read reviews from people and it's like, you know, getting a shot of caffeine or something.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, it's really noticeable, really noticeable.
So
you're gonna feel good.
So what were some of the benefits that you felt? Because now you're a 76-year-old woman. Clearly, you're in remarkable shape, Linda. So that, let's, you know, that's what, but you're still 76, 77 years old now. You started this when you were 76. What were some of the physical benefits that you felt, again, you know, as a woman in their 70s?
Well, first of all, you know, as you said, I've been doing yoga only for 4 or 5 years, teaching it, right? And I did very well doing yoga. I got stronger. I got more flexible. This went to the next level. There was no way that, you know, I had more energy. I should be getting less energy as I get older, possibly.
Correct.
You know, but no, it just absolutely reversed. My core got so much stronger. It's just an amazing, amazing practice. It really is. It just elevated me. And I have done this. You'll like this. My daughter's boyfriend was over last week, and he's 16, right? And he plays hockey, and so we were talking. He said, oh, I got to get in shape. And I said, well, I was working on this ebook, and I said, would you like to try the exercise I do every morning? He said, oh, sure. Couldn't do it. And this kid is 16. He plays hockey. He's, you know how many people I've introduced this to? They can't do it. Now, that could eventually, but, you know, and the worst are the men, because, of course, they think that if they work out at a gym, they should be able to go down and do this. They can't. So it's amazing how powerful this is. And once you get it, psychologically, it's really powerful.
Yeah, I bet it's almost borderline addictive, because it's 8 minutes in and out, right? You get it done. And then you have all of this energy. And then if you see your body transforming on top of that, you know, that's just another accelerant to wanting to keep doing it. So that's awesome. So that ebook we're going to share, give to everybody, so that you can learn about these Tibetan habits that or rituals that you can incorporate 8 minutes a day. Now, I want to shift gears. Let's talk about, because I know that you love talking about this aging in reverse. What are the three, and again, in your long career in wellness and now with yoga and breathing and all of these things, I just want to, as an aside, Linda, just for my younger listeners that are in their 30s, you're never too old to learn something new, right? And you've been in health and wellness for, you know, a long, long time. And then 4 years ago to get into, you know, shifting a little bit with the yoga and the breathing, and now this Tibetan a year and a half ago, you're never too old to learn, adjust, adapt, and even, you know, go to the next level for you, whatever age bracket you're in. So that's why I love having you on as well, because it's not somebody 30 saying, well, the Tibetan and it works and look at me, I look great. You do look great, but you're also 76 years old. So you look remarkably great, you know, given your age factor. So I know another thing you love to talk about, and I think it's important. What are the three most important things that you found, again, your living proof, for living truly a long and healthy life? And healthy, long, yes, but healthy is the key. We don't want to live long and be in a wheelchair, you know, right, on a feeding tube, right? We want to be healthy and thriving. So what are the three most important things you've learned?
Well, the first thing, now this is research on my part also,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yep,
and it's not just things maybe I have done, but these
sure
are things that are taking place all over the world. And number one is purpose, community. This is all together. Social isolation is as big a death sentence as cancer is. It's going to be number one soon. So if you take a country like Sardinia, which is a little island off of Italy, there are 5 blue zones in the world where people live to be well over 100. And say there's 25 people in a little town, 10 of them live to be over 100, right? What do they do, and what different kind of lifestyle do they have? Okay, so they eat maybe raw vegetables, maybe it's their diet is good, you know, especially in Italy. But this is also one in California. So it's not just the Mediterranean diet, but they drink. Some of them were saying, well, I have a glass of wine for breakfast. That's my kind of diet. Are you kidding?
Sign me up.
Or what, right? Sign me up there. And so, yes, diet is definitely in the mix, right? But that's not the whole key. Then the exercise. From the time they are 9 to 90, they go up this mountain every single day. They've got to go up there to get whatever it is, the water, I don't know. But they have to go up there, they come down, they are constantly moving, and they never stop working. They never stop working. They are so well respected by the young generations. They're looked up to as wise people, so they have this tremendous, you know, really, instead of putting them away in a nursing home or saying, gee, mom, you don't know anything anymore, that, no, that would never happen. And the community, you know, those houses in Italy, they're attached. Everything is like close together, right? And they come out in the morning and their neighbor's sitting there. They have constant community. They live with their children or they don't, but there's always this feeling of belonging. And everybody needs that, Connie. It's like everybody sometimes needs a hug, you know, and think about all the people that don't hug. First of all, they're texting now, and, you know, I mean, it's really sad. So isolation, purpose, get up in the morning, have something to do. No matter what that is, it doesn't make any difference. Look forward to something and really be grateful. Be grateful. For look around. Oh dear God in heaven, what's going on in the world today? And it's so sad.
Yes.
I mean, be grateful for what you have because it manifests itself back to you. It really does. So that to me is kind of number one. You have to have your head in the right place. And it's not just about, oh, think positive and things will go well. It isn't. It's lifestyle. It's the way you think. So all the above.
Now tell me about the cow. I'm curious. So that makes sense. Italy, they're still, they probably eat, like you said, the raw vegetables. They're probably growing their vegetables. So you don't have the pesticides and things like that as well. So you take all of that into account. Plus, climbing up that mountain, they're moving their body every day, naturally moving. They're not getting on a treadmill. They're naturally moving their body. And the key is being amongst people. Now talk about the California one. This has me curious. What is so special about this area in California that is showing those same kinds of results?
It's a community. It's the Seventh-day Adventist community in Loma Linda in California. They all live in a community so that they're all connected on some everyday level. You know, they work together. They, you know, socialize. Their elders are never kicked out because they get too old. You know, it's a community. Now, I don't know what their diet is, but I can guarantee you it's probably a lot of fresh vegetables. Yeah. And I'm going to go into this a little bit later because I want to talk about diet. I want to talk about what's in our diet that is so detrimental to do.
Yeah.
So it's that's one of them. There's one in Costa Rica. There's one in Japan. And I'm not quite sure where the other one is. But you know, there's only five in the world.
That's
these
amazing.
People, and the scientists are studying these people, and they're saying, oh, well, we think it must be genetic because all these people are related in some way. No, it's not genetic. It's their lifestyle. And I say that with really conviction because, and I'm no scientist, but I say that because they have found that genetics is nowhere near what they thought it was.
Yeah.
To think that was, oh my God, if your mother had it, you have it. But it wasn't because of always geneticism. Not that that's never a part of it. I'm not saying that. But not what they used to think. Once you come out of that womb, you're in a lifestyle. Whatever your parents provide for you, whatever you grow up to believe, all of these things is what makes you are. Whatever you eat, how much you sleep, that isn't something that you were necessarily born with. Okay? This is the way you're living. And you were brought up by parents that lived that way.
Yeah, right. It's a learned behavior more than the genetics. The other thing you said that I found interesting with the community, you know, you walk out of your house and your neighbor is sweeping their front porch or whatever. So again, it's this activity, but it's socializing as they work, right? So they're sweeping their front stoops or whatever, their front patios, and they're talking, right? So you have the social. The other thing, and they're finding this, I know, in hospitals more and more, they're using it also, is bringing animals like dogs in.
Just thinking the same thing when you said
that.
The
tent, the touch, right? The sense of touch that the dog's snuggling and giving, because dogs give you unconditional love, right? So that you can pet the animal, that touch, that human touch is really, really important. And we forget because we think I could do it all by myself, right? We're these independent beings. It's really not true. We really need others in our orbit to make us better. I'm not saying you need to depend on other people, right, Linda? But we have to have people that are important to us and that we're important to them. The other thing you said I wanted to comment on is they continue to work through their 80s and 90s, they continue to whatever that work is. If they're fishermen,
retiring. That's not
even a word.
No, you just do what you've always done and you live your life. And, you know, they're relatively happy people, but there's still grouchy people there. You know, there's people that, you know, probably drink too much or something, but they're an amazing, very almost no Alzheimer's, no dementia.
It's amazing. That is amazing. So let's shift to diet, because I do think diet, the touching, the mindset, having purpose, you have to wake up in the morning and say, ooh, what am I going to do today? And be excited about, I mean, obviously you can't be excited about everything every day. That's ridiculous. But
putting in mind that you have to do.
Yes, yes.
That makes you feel good about yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Even if it's volunteering, right?
Right.
Okay, so diet now. This, I think diet is extremely important, and I'm going to just share, and then I'm going to ask you to comment. Dr. Oz, I'm not a huge fan, but sometimes he says things that I feel are quite valuable. And he said all the pharmacy you need is walking around the perimeter of your store, of your food store. Once you start to go into the aisle, it's all processed. So if you go around, he said it's very, you'll notice it's colorful, it's alive, it's your red peppers and your cucumbers and your celery and your carrots and all of these colors, but it's all around the perimeter of the store, not inside the aisle. So that talks to the raw, eating that raw, healthy food, right?
Exactly. So, absolutely. 74% of our diet is processed food, or 74% of all the food that's processed and has sugar in it. Now, sugar is a killer. I mean, sugar in itself. Sugar is a carb, right? So you got a carb, and it's called sucrose. And sucrose is actually fructose and glucose. Now, follow me here, okay? Because I'm no doctor, and I have to think about this when I'm talking about it, because it's... So fructose is not metabolized by your organs. Okay, fructose, I'm telling you, I'm going to blow this. Fructose is not metabolized by your organ. The other one is. So when it comes in, it's metabolized by your liver. So once it goes into your liver, it can only metabolize so much of it. The rest of it turns to fat because it can't metabolize. It has too much. There's too much sugar in everyone's diet, right? Now, sugar in itself is a toxin. It has no benefits whatsoever. There's no nutrients in sugar. They take everything out of it, and it's made just like cocaine and heroin. Comes into a fine little powder or crystals, right? Same thing. It gets into your mitochondria, which is your cells, which is your energy. It goes into your brain. It gives you brain fog. There is so much detrimental. They did a study of mice, right? And they had an electric grid, and on the other side was cocaine and M&Ms. The mouse ran across the electric grid to the M&Ms. Didn't even want cocaine. Sugar is so addictive, Connie. It is so addictive. And I'm going to tell you a story in a moment about one of my neighbors and her story with the sugar and what happened. It's just children today. Never in history before has a child gotten type 2 diabetes or fatty liver, right? Those are alcoholic diseases, yeah. Right? Plus other things for type 2 diabetes, but that's one of them. Children today, young kids, are getting fatty liver. Too much sugar. You just can't process it. Everything we eat today. And everything goes to sugar. Most people don't know carbs are sugar. Alcohol is all sugar. Every cereal on the market today for kids is sugar. M&Ms on top of the yogurt. Everything. They put sugar in everything.
And people think they're eating healthy. And, well, I had a yogurt. Great. Yeah. Right? But then...
But look at the sugar content.
Look at the sugar content. Yeah.
When you... The American Heart Association says a male... grown male should have 9 teaspoons of sugar a day. Could have, not should have. A woman 6 and a child 3. All right? But think about this. A can of Diet Coke, a can, has 9.5 grams of sugar in it. One can. And that's just, say you're having a drink and you drink it and you got all that sugar already without even eating, without even...
Well, there's no nutritional value either to that can of soda, right? The food companies put these chemicals or these sugar additives so that we do become addicted, that you can't just have one chip, right? You have to, all of a sudden you look and you go, I ate the whole bag, a roll, you know, a sleeve of Oreos. You think, I'm just going to have one. And you end up looking and you think, oh my goodness, I ate the entire sleeve of Oreos. So there's, they put these things so that we do become addicted because it's money, right? It's really all about money, Linda. I am curious. We have about 6 minutes. I'm curious about your friend. You said you were going to tell a story. I'd like to hear that. So,
Barb, she's my neighbor, and she got this bacteria in 2001 or two. She traveled a lot with her job to China, Taiwan, several places, and she was in Taiwan, and she contacted this bacteria, but she didn't know it, you know, and then it shows up, and she went to doctor after doctor. For 8 years, it was misdiagnosed. Right. She would get this. It was in her nasal. In her nasal, they kept saying it was all kinds of stuff. They put her on really high antibiotics, 8 years. Finally, she met a doctor who was a global infectious doctor from Pakistan. And she said, I know exactly what that is. It was this bacteria from Taiwan that was found in the 1950s. No other doctor that she went to knew anything about this. Now it is called, you know what chlamydia is. Chlamydia is, we know mostly venereal chlamydia. But there's also pneumonia chlamydial, and there is another one. She has pneumonia chlamydial. So if she says to her doctor, well, this is what I have, they said, I never heard of it. I don't know what it is. Anyway, she had this. And for the last, since 2009, her count, and I'm not sure, antibody count or something would go up to like 500. I think normal might be 16. When it got like that, what happens is it can spread into her brain and she died. She would have to go into an infusion center every single day for 3 to 5 hours, every day for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and she had to do this 4 times in 10 years and get the strongest antibiotics there was to kill it. Anything set this off, trauma, a cold, anything. So she always had to be very careful. I started with this nutrition, the functional medicine diet. I'm spouting to anybody that'll listen, you know, right on top of the mountain there, listen to me. No one does. About sugar. And she's addicted to sugar, as most people are, right? So she and her boyfriend both went on this diet, and Barb's in her 60s, you know, she's not young. Within probably 3 to 6 months, she went back to her doctor, and her doctor said, you have never had such a strong immune system. What did you do? She said, I gave up sugar. That's how powerful that was. And she's had things that have happened. She's had trauma. She's had colds.
And nothing.
Nothing. No. Her immune system is so strong because of the sugar. So it's sugar, it's gluten, it's dairy. And I'm not saying nobody can have a piece of bread, but look up and see what your bread is made of today. It's not like it used to be 50 years ago when you really got all the nutrients. Now they put vitamins in it when they make it because it's all this emulsification mixture. And there's no vitamins. They take them all out. But in order to put it on the label, they throw some in. You never get them. But that's, you know. And there are 61 different things, names for sugar on ingredients. So you really don't know. But look at how many, you know, grams or something there are of sugar. Look on the thing before you start and add them up.
And I think that's the other problem. We don't take the time to add up all of those things that read the bagel. How much sugar does that turn into? Then you have the cookie, and then you have the chips. It all those carbohydrates. Fruit turns into sugar. I mean, it's a good carbohydrate, right? Because your body. But if you're having, say that again.
Fruit is not bad.
No.
It's all natural. Sugar.
That's right.
Right, and that's okay. But you still don't want to overdose on it.
That's exactly right.
But, you know, fruit is good. I mean, you could live on fruit.
Yeah, fruit and vegetables. That's the thing, but we don't because it's easier when we come home from work. And I know my parents that are listening to the show, easier said than done to cook a meal. We're exhausted. I have to get the kid to soccer or hockey or whatever the sport is. Let's grab something at McDonald's or let's grab something at the Subway, you know, on route to wherever the facility is. Sometimes they have snack bars. So you say, have a pretzel. That'll be your dinner. Immediate turns to sugar. So it's easier said than done. You and I understand that. We're trying to raise awareness so that if people are ailing, maybe the first thing to look at is the mind, obviously, the exercise, the Tibetan. We have this Tibetan exercise that everybody should be able to do, no matter age and capability or strength. And then the last one is food. And we really have to pay attention to what we're doing every day. What are we putting in our mouth? It matters. It really does matter. We're out of time, my friend. Go ahead. One more thing.
Goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry we're out of time.
I know. We have so much. We'll have to do it again. Yes, we'll have to do it again. But I do want to give everybody, if you have questions for Linda, please email her. It's L Sheely. So it's S-C-H-E-E-L-E at agingreverse.net, right?
Yes.
Website is agingreverse.net.
Right.
Right. And right. I am going to put the Tibetan link to the ebook. I'm not going to read that here because it's, you know, different digits and stuff. You'll never be able to remember it. But I'll put it on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change platform, and you guys could go and find it, read it, and see what the exercises are. I'm excited that we're sharing that with them, Linda, because I think it's a nice way to step into. And again, if you can only do one twirl, that's okay.
That's right. In fact, don't try and do every one right away, unless you're in really good shape, because you don't want to hurt yourself.
Right.
Okay. So just take your time and do it gently and just keep moving up.
Yeah, and be kind to yourself as you're going through the process, that you don't have to do it perfectly, you know, the first time out of the gate. So do what you can. And again, that positive outlook. I was able to do 3 today. I'm able to do 4 tomorrow. I'm able to do 5 the next day. That's wonderful. You're heading the right trajectory, right? You're going in the right direction. That's all we're talking about. Yeah, I love it. Linda, thank you so much. Again, Linda Sheely. So it's L Sheely at agingandreverse.net. Website, agingandreverse.net. You can check her out in addition to reading the ebook. My partner and I still on Wisdom Decoded. If you go to wisdomdecoded.com, you get your free communication style assessment. I've been seeing a lot of activity on it, so thank you for checking it out and taking it, and I hope you're enjoying the report that comes with it. It just gives you a little insight as to some of your natural superpowers from a communication standpoint, and of course, we share with you some of your blind spots so that you're aware and mindful. So enjoy that at wisdomdecoded.com. Linda, thank you again. Always a pleasure. Always inspirational just having you on, because I know people, I'm old, what are you going to do about it? You know what? Yes, we want to grow old gracefully, and we're giving some really, you're giving some wonderful tips on how to accomplish that. And again, you're living proof, and you've only been doing the Tibetan a year and a half. So,
Right.
So it's possible that we can change our whole physique. So check it out. Thank you again. And thank you all for checking in and listening to the show. And I hope that you could continue to join us weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change is always happening, right? How can we get on board to that change? And I hope that my guests like Linda and all my other guests, that we share some perspectives to help you understand change and maybe navigate it with a little bit more ease and grace. But it's easier than I think. It's worse up here than in the actual life of change. So please embrace it. Continue to listen. Thank you to my wonderful guests. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate your listening every week. And you have been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all just a wonderful week, an inspired week, and a healthy choice week. Have a good one, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.